Let us turn to consider as the Lord may be pleased to help us. Words you will find in the chapter of God's Word that we read, the book of the Revelation, chapter 3. And let us consider the words in verse 20. Verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. And these words are no doubt very familiar to us all who have the Word of God in our hands, and we are told here that it is what the Spirit saith unto the churches. These are the words of the Lord Jesus, and yet he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. What we have in the Word of God, in the Bible, given by inspiration of the Spirit of God, is nothing other than the Word of Christ. The Word of Christ is the Word of the Spirit. The Spirit of God speaking in the Scriptures is Christ's Word to us. And that is a precious doctrine of the Word of God, that Christ is speaking. And he's speaking these messages particularly and directly and himself in this vision of John to John to these seven churches. And we can think of these churches, perhaps some of them larger than one congregation. The church in Thyatira in the previous chapter, for example, it's addressed to the angel, but it also is addressed to the rest in Thyatira. There seems to be more than one. Perhaps that's true in other of the churches as well, but at least they had one minister or messenger or angel who was being addressed and the church addressed through them. And just something like the presbytery perhaps here in Asia Pacific. These were in Asia Minor. These seven churches, you have six or seven churches here in this part of the world. We've come from another part of the world. What a blessed thing it is that the Church of Christ is to be found in all places, in all parts of the earth. Well, it is the Church of Christ, and he it is who speaks to it. And what he says to one, he says to all. There's a message particularly for one, but you can see that it is intended for them all. What the Spirit saith unto the churches, plural. So what is relevant to you here this evening and to us here as we gather is as relevant in every other part of the world. He that hath an ear, then, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Well, this church in Laodicea is addressed, and this church, as well as the church in Sardis, are the two who had a privilege, or privileges, which the others perhaps didn't have. One privilege was that they had no persecution. There was no enmity or persecution raised up against them, mentioned in the message, as it was in the case of others, and indeed in the church of the church in Philadelphia that we were reading about in the chapter. But there was also this, that they're not accused of any heresy or any gross sin as far as outward sin is concerned, but rather there is identified in both these churches a decay, a spiritual decay. Church in Laodicea had been addressed directly by the Apostle Paul when he wrote to Colossae. It was very near Colossae, and a neighbor church perhaps. And it was intended that the epistle to Colossae would be read in Laodicea. And so we can think of the church in Laodicea having received that message, and what a warm, blessed message it was of comfort indeed, and identifying the glorious person and office of Christ to them, and calling them to the exercises of grace and love. And it would appear that here something of a decay had set in, so that they are accused and identified as lukewarm. And are you here tonight and that's your complaint about yourself? Or it's something you know about yourself? Is it something that your neighbor knows, your family knows, your minister knows? Is it something you feel and you are conscious of, lukewarmness? Well, there is a message for you from God tonight, if that be true. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Christ is saying that to everyone here. The word behold, you can clearly see it in other parts of this very chapter. The church in Philadelphia, it's three times it's used. Behold, I will make them to make of the synagogue of Satan. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet. Behold, I come quickly. It's drawing attention to something wonderful, something marvelous, something noteworthy, something to give attention to. Behold, here is something for the eager, yes, and the alert and careful attention of this church. Behold, well, here are wonderful things indeed in this verse. A familiar verse it may be, but full of wonders. Every word that Christ speaks is wonderful. He is the wonderful counselor. He is the one who speaks words of wisdom, words of grace and truth. And grace and truth are in his lips. His words were words of wisdom. He knows exactly what to say. He knows exactly the degree of a point and accusation, as well as of comfort and direction to each and every church. He knows all the situation, all the circumstances that may be in the church, and we're not to think that he's singling any individual out. It's to the church as a whole, and the word of Christ is that word which applies to each one individually, and yet to all together. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, it matters not what your circumstances, it matters not who you are, any man, any woman, any boy, any girl, all together, all individually, each alone, privately and secretly, and all together as a congregation, each home, each family, behold, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Well, we might just consider the opening of this verse just now, the thing that is to be wondered at indeed. The content of the message, all of it, is wonderful. But there's this to be wondered at, to be looked at, to be beheld, to be especially considered. Behold, I stand at the door. It's as though he is drawing attention to himself. He is drawing attention to the fact of this. He is at the door. If somebody told you right now there's somebody at the door, then the instinct of each and every one, or instinct of somebody, would be to attend to that immediately. We read of that in the Gospel of Luke, where the master comes back and he knocks on the door and the servant opens immediately. It's not something to be ignored. It's not something to be neglected. It's not something to be left till another time. Behold, I stand at the door. That's the nature of the call, the nature of the message that is Christ is sending to this church. Behold. Well, three things very briefly this evening on these words. Behold, I stand at the door. Behold, I stand at the door. It's the first is the wonder of this and the identity of the person who is at the door. He tells us who he is. There is nothing more wonderful in all the world that this person would be at the door. That this one, it would be no wonder if a man or a woman or some, even if some great king or prince that this world admires would come to the door. It would be no wonder in comparison to the wonder of this. Behold, I stand at the door. And then secondly, a little concerning the door. We mentioned the door of the church, literally. And we are not to dismiss that. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God, the psalmist said, than dwell in the tents of wickedness. There is a place where Christ is to be found, locally present by his Spirit, where the church assembles, where the church meets. We've come together. We've come out of the doors of our houses. We've come into the door of the church. We are assembled within the door. the doors are shut, where the disciples are assembled. And that's where Christ says he will be. That's where he is. And that's the wonderful thing about what he says concerning himself. He's there. He's at the door. He's in the place, at the place. He's come to the door. Did you think about that before you came tonight? Did you come with this inquiry, we would see Jesus? Ah, you say, minister, we don't expect to see him with our eyes. No, you don't. But do you expect to see him with your heart, with the eyes of your soul? We would see Jesus. What think ye? Have you ever thought of it? Did you think about it? Did you think about it before you came? Have you been thinking about it in view of the days that are ahead? There's a door, as it were. The door of a communion season is this evening. It's the door into a communion season. And he's saying, behold, I stand at the door, that door, the door of ordinances. But to take it a little bit more close to home, he's standing at the door of your heart. Well, thirdly, there is something of this. I stand at the door. There's a purpose in his standing at the door, his purpose, his intention. Why is he there? Why is he at this church? And why is he saying it to this church in this manner? Why is he speaking thus to this people in this manner? He's no doubt at the door of other churches, but he does not set it to the other churches. He said it to this church because there's a purpose in view. There's a purpose for him drawing attention to himself at the door of this church. These three things, a little off them in the time before us this evening. Behold, I stand at the door. Well, here is something very wonderful. Behold, something to consider, something to indeed to be amazed at, to wonder at. Because it is none other than he who is God, the everlasting Son, the eternal Son of God. That's how he identifies himself in his vision to John in the first chapter of this wonderful book. He takes to himself divine names. He is the Son of God, whose name is the Son of God. He is the brightness of his Father's glory, the express image of his person. Indeed, he says, I am set down with my Father in his throne. That's something that belongs to God alone. Only he who is God can say it. He who is the equal with the Father. He who is the Father's Son, my Father. My Father, I am set down with my Father in his throne. It's he's drawing attention to it. There's two thrones mentioned there. He that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. None other than the one who sits on the throne then of the Father, the right hand of the majesty in the heavens. It's he who is saying, behold, I stand at the door. Oh, that we would give serious thought to the reality, the unspeakable wonder of that, the unspeakable glory that the Son of God in our nature is speaking thus to his church. The one who is sitting on the throne of the universe is saying it. Behold, I stand at the door. But he's identifying himself by names also in the opening of this epistle. These things saith the Amen, another name of God, another divine name. We know what the word Amen means, the children here. We say Amen at the end of our prayers because we are giving testimony to our desire and of our assurance of being heard. We, as it were, vouch for the truth and sincerity of what we say. It's another word for verily. It's translated verily in the New Testament, the Gospels. Verily, verily, it's Amen, Amen. This is true. And it's calling God to witness that it is true. Amen. We're desiring that God would know that we desire these things of him. And indeed we expect them from him, who is faithful and true to his word, who has given us things to ask for. Well, he calls himself the Amen, because he is not only true in what he says, but he is the truth itself. So everything he says is the truth. Is that not a very wonderful thing, that you come to the house of God tonight and that you have the Word, the one who is the Word of God speaking to you in the Word of God in the Bible? This is not the Word of men, it's the Word of the living God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's how he is to be known. He is the Amen, the faithful and true witness. Everything that he says then is true. You can rely on it. In a day when truth is fallen in the street, when you don't know who to believe, when you don't know what message you're hearing from this one or that one in this world of lies and deceit, you can be relying on this, coming to the Word and worship of God, coming to the house of God, coming to the place where God is speaking. It is the Amen who is speaking. Oh, how wonderful it is in a world of confusion. How wonderful it is, children, that you can come and you can be absolutely sure that the one who speaks in the Bible is true, is faithful, is true. It's a wonderful assurance that God's people have. It's a wonderful comfort for the hearts of God's people. They can rest in this. This is the one they're seeking. They are to seek, and they are called to seek. He is faithful, the faithful and true witness. He said himself, "Those things which I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." And he is the beginning of the creation of God. The word there means the one who is the who caused the beginning, who is the author of the creation, the beginner of the creation. He is the one who made the world out of nothing. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he has created all things by the word of his power. That's the glorious person who is identified. It's the glorious one who speaks to this church. And it is the wonder of angels. It's the wonder of the mighty angels that he would take to do with sinful men in this world, that he would address them, that he would come near to them. One has said, Samuel Rutherford, who says it somewhere, that he has been standing at the door of the church for 5,000-6,000 years, since the beginning of the creation. Since the beginning of the world, he's been there. He's not been weary of being there. He's been taking an interest in concerns and cares and needs of men. He has, as it were, humbled himself to see all things that are in the heaven and in the earth. The high and the lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, who dwells in the high and the holy place. He's coming near, even to this church. And he it is who speaks. He it is who stands at the door. He it is who identifies himself. Well, he is speaking in the different messages to these churches, and he's showing forth something in each and every name that he gives to himself, something of his glorious character, something of his glorious dignity, but more than that, something of the office which he has towards his church. He is the great prophet, and we can surely identify that office in what he says, his word, his speaking, revealing the will of the Father, the faithful and true witness. And he is speaking through the Spirit to the churches in the Word of God, the Christ executing his office as a prophet. He is there to teach, he's there to speak, he's there to instruct. And his identity is brought to their notice in the first chapter. He is the one who whose voice is as the voice of many waters. And he is the one whose voice is to be heard, a great voice as of a trumpet. There's no one who speaks like this one. His voice is the voice of majesty, the voice of glorious power. Behold, I stand at the door. In that office. I am in my church and I am among my people. I am in the place where my people are to be found, and I am exercising that office towards them. For those who are ignorant, those who are foolish, those who are blind in spiritual things, here is the one who is executing his office as a prophet in his church. We have it also in the vision which he gives in the first chapter. And he turned to see the voice. He saw one clothed down to the foot in a garment, clothed down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes are as a flame of fire. And on his head, in his right hand, and his feet were like fine brass, and his voice is the sound of many waters. It's a vision which we might say, we might identify with the glorious priesthood of Christ also. He is the great high priest, and that's the picture we have. He's walking amidst the candlesticks. It's as though he's in his temple. His candlesticks and the stars are in his right hand. It's drawn from the image or the picture, the symbols of the Old Testament temple worship. And he is the one who is walking in the midst of it. The prophet who is there to speak, he is I saw seven golden candlesticks. It's as though he's identifying his priestly office also. The glorious prophet of the church is none other than the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. And that's the office he executes towards his church in the New Testament, as well as in the Old Testament. Have we given thought to that in coming to the worship of God tonight, that we are entering into the very temple of God and his worship spiritually? Let us draw near, the apostle said to the Hebrews. Let us, seeing we have a great high priest who is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Seeing we have an altar, he says to the Hebrews, we have an altar. Not a literal, not a physical altar, but we have an altar. Whereof they have no right to eat who serve the tabernacle. We have a spiritual altar, we have a spiritual priest, we have a sacrifice. That's the name of the glorious person who is here, our great high priest. Behold, I stand at the door. I'm walking amidst the candlesticks. He is also the king. We mentioned already his being set down, sitting on his throne. He sits upon his throne in heaven. The one who has a throne in heaven is ruling as king in his church. He is a His eyes are as a flame of fire. His feet are like fine brass, as though they burned in a furnace. There's majesty in all his goings. And he is attending to the business of his kingdom in all parts and places. That's who he is. Well, we can think of him in other names and titles too. We can see he's identifying himself in his love. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. There were those whom he loved, and those whom he does love. He is the beloved of the church, the heavenly bridegroom of the church. He is the one who has a love in his heart towards his visible church, but a love in his heart towards his own dear people, whom he loves with an everlasting love. Behold, this lover of the church is here. He is standing at the door. He is the one who is identifying his love in doing so. The beloved who came and knocked at the door in the Song of Solomon, the church could say of him, my beloved. I rose up to my beloved. My beloved. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Well, we have come to a communion season, and that is what Christ would have us consider, who he is. You'll be searching and examining the scriptures concerning him. They testify of him. Be coming to the worship of God and over these days, seeking to hear something of his name. that whereby he makes himself known. And be saying in your heart as you come, when thou didst say, seek ye my face, then unto thee reply, thus did my heart. Above all things thy face, Lord, seek will I, that you would learn something more concerning his name, concerning his attributes, concerning his office, concerning his person, concerning his glorious dignity and royalty and priesthood and prophetic dignity and prophetic office. Behold, I stand at the door. Well, he's standing at the door of the church then, standing at the door of the assembly. He's present where two or three are gathered in his name. There am I in the midst of them. There am I in the midst of them. He's the doorkeeper. He's faithful to the law of the house. He comes in and he goes out. He's present where the assemblies of his people are. Whoever else is present, he's there. Because he's promised to be there. There's to be no question as far as the promise of Christ is concerned. What think ye, that he will not come? It cannot be that he would not come. But the question is, this very evening, would you desire a meeting with him? Would you have a meeting with him? Behold, I stand at the door. He's at the door of ordinances. That's why we can be sure he is faithful to his word. He is faithful to his promise of being present where his people assemble for his ordinances. They are his. He has set them up. He has established them. He has ordained a lamp for his anointed. He has made the place of his feet glorious in setting up ordinances, the preaching of the word, the prayer meeting, the reading of the word, the singing of his praise, the calling on his name, and this ordinance of the sacrament around which we have gathered. He has established them. He has set them up. They are his. I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. That's an ordinance. That's the nature of Christian ordinances. And Christ's ordinances are appointed by him as the place of meeting with his people. He stands behind our wall. He shows himself through the windows, through the lattice. That's the nature of ordinances. Christ showing himself. Christ revealing himself. Behold what a wonder is here. Behold what grace is here. Behold what glorious privilege is here. There's no place on earth like this than that place where Christ's ordinances are. Where Christ has promised to be with his, or where his ordinances are. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. Behold, I stand at the door of ordinances, the doorkeeper of the ordinance. He's the one who guards his ordinance. He watches over those who approach them. He's the great high priest of the temple, keeping an eye, trimming the lamps, watching over every detail. See that thou mayest do all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. He is faithful as Moses was faithful in all his house. If Moses was faithful in all the house of God and the worship of God, how much more the son of the house himself? Christ is a son over his own house. Whose house are we? Oh, what a glorious privilege you have this evening and in every occasion you meet. There's no dignity higher on earth than to be in the company and fellowship of God's people in his worship. It's the kingdom of God come near unto you. It's the kingdom of heaven. I will dwell among them. The tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell among them. That's what he means when he says, behold, I stand at the door. I stand at the door, your door. And the door of this communion season, the opening of these ordinances, the setting up of these ordinances, not of men, in his glorious overruling mastery of providence, in his ordering of the events in the lives of every one of his people who assemble, he has brought together a company. He's brought together his servants, his people, around his ordinances, and he's standing at the door. And there's a door of every heart too. There's a door to every heart. He says to the church in Philadelphia that I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Seems to be pointing to the liberty or the freedom or the access to the heart that the minister would get in preaching the gospel in that place. Though there would be hindrances, though the devil would try to stop it, though there would be opposition, no man can shut it. He that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth, that's the name, the glorious title that belongs to him. He is the key of David that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. Oh, what a wonderful power, what a wonderful glory. He has the mastery, yes, of the ordinances. He's the rule and government in his own house to command what ordinances there be, nothing be added to them, nothing taken from them. But he's got more than that. He's got the mastery over access to the hearts of men. Through his word being preached, through the ministry of his gospel, a little strength maybe. Ministers with much weakness. I was with you in much weakness, Paul said, and in much trembling. My speech was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but with this, in demonstration of the Spirit and power. Oh, behold, what a wonder in the earth, that the word of Christ would run speedily into the hearts of any. Behold, I stand at the door then. He's able to open the door. He's able to come in. As he says in this verse, I will come in. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. There's something more glorious, something so glorious in that that would take an eternity to unfold it. Truly what it means, what is bound up with it, what is involved in it. Great wonders are here. Behold, I stand at the door. And he has a purpose in doing so. He has an end in view. Are you here tonight, and the words of this message to Laodicea, you have to take them to heart. To your own case, to your own spiritual condition, that you're not what you ought to be. You're not as zealous as you ought to be. You don't have the fiery zeal of love to Christ as you ought to have. Well, behold, I stand at the door and knock for that end, that you would be zealous. Oh, if only we knew the glorious love, the glorious grace, the glorious power, the glorious dignity and majesty of the one who stands and knocks at our door. Who would not have zeal for him? That's what the church was brought to. Love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The flames that offer flames of fire, which have a most vehement flame. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm. She got a view of the glorious grace and love of Christ towards her, and she could not but respond in love, in zeal, in zealous love, in jealous love, in ardent burning love. Where Christ and his people meet, that's what happened. That's why he's there. That's why he's come. That's why his word is sent. that you would have zeal, not lukewarmness. Not lukewarmness, but zeal. Behold, I stand at the door. I stand at the door. It will be to the eternal praise of Christ that he came and he stood at the door. If any man hear my voice, you're saying that Christ has not come to you. Are you saying that Christ is only for God's people? Are you saying that the doctrines of the gospel are only suitable for those who understand them? Young children here, be sure of this. You've come to the worship of God tonight, and over these days you come and you go and you come and you go. And each and every time Christ is addressing you. He would have your heart. My son, give me thine heart. As surely as he would say to his people, open to me, my sister, my spouse, my undefiled. My head is wet with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. So he is saying it to you. Would you not bid him welcome in? Would you not invite him into this communion season? Would you not allow the master of the house himself to come in? If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. Oh yes, there are adversaries, there are enemies, there are obstacles, there are difficulties. But what are they to this one? Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt be made a plain. All obstacles removed when he comes to the door. There's no castle, no battlement, no fortress that can hinder him. No heart too hard. No soul too indifferent. No coldness and lukewarmness too difficult for him. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. May the Lord bless his word to us. Alistair Campbell, will you engage in prayer, please?